You're listening to the Outspoken Bible, a podcast from Bible 2020.
Welcome to Outspoken Conversations from the Outspoken Bible. I'm Alistair, producer of the Outspoken Bible, and I'm with Fiona Stewart over the internet.
Hello, Alistair. I'm always glad that you introduced the title because it's getting old to say it, but I still struggle to remember what we're calling this. Outspoken Conversations.
Exactly. How are you doing, Fiona?
I'm doing fine. I'm still in lockdown. I got out this weekend, which was a treat. I was out on parole.
You escaped?
I went a bit mad, actually, to be honest. I was out for a work thing and then just had a wee list of things I needed to accomplish when I was out of the house, and was finding it a little bit overwhelming. So I'm back in my desk in my bedroom, you know, feeling back at home now. How about you? How's life?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Life is fine. Lockdown with three very young children is, you know, has its highs and lows. But I think a lot of the weekend were highs. So that's good.
That's good.
We're recording on a Monday, and I think Mondays are have been tough. I kind of get that from both my surroundings, but also kind of the temperature on the socials.
Yes.
I think Mondays doesn't feel as much of the start of the week as, here we go again, a bit of a groundhog day.
Well, I think that's true. I was talking to my flatmate about this, actually, and she was saying, I mean, even though we're both working from home, we're both doing creative jobs, we both love what we do, she still has that Sunday night sinking feeling of, oh, right. And I think it is about, here we go again, another week. But this is a treat to be speaking to you, if I may say.
It's a nice start to the week, isn't it?
It's lovely. And we're going to be doing this every week for the next little while.
That's right. Last Monday, we were speaking to Elaine Duncan. And today we're speaking to Kirsten Callum Mitchell. And just over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking to a few folk up and down the country who've been involved in Bible 2020 or have used it, but who really we just want to check in with and find out what they're doing in their local setup, you know, whether they're ministers in the Highlands or you know, mums and dads looking after their kids, just what the world looks like to them now, as well as how the Bible is helping them through this time.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, we're even going further afield, more of which will be revealed in due course.
And we didn't have to buy you a plane ticket.
No, exactly. More's the pity. Exactly. So we're starting off this week with Kirsty and Callum, as you mentioned. Just good to catch up with people who are adjusting to a new season, I suppose. Kirsty's on the board of the Scottish Bible Society, actually. So she's a board member, and they're both members of St Paul's and St George's Church in Edinburgh. So you'll hear that referred to a few times in the conversation, either St Paul's and St George's or P's and G's. They've got two boys. We hear a bit about them as well in the conversation, and both working parents. And yeah, as I say, kind of adjusting to a new way of being, but also it relishing some of the good things that are coming out of this season as well.
I think a lot of what they said, I think we can all relate to, no matter what our setup of just, I think that whole life learning and kind of life reset that's going on for everybody.
Yeah, very much so. So shall I introduce them?
Let's go for it.
This is Outspoken Conversations, and today it's with Kirsty and Callum Mitchell. Tell me a little bit about what does it look like where you are just now? What's your lockdown life like?
So we are both sitting in Callum's office, his home office in our house, hiding from our children who are downstairs, hopefully doing something educational while we chat to you.
Well done. And that kind of summarizes, I suppose, some of what we want to touch on in this conversation is you are, like a lot of families, doing that strange thing of juggling work, children, furlough, a whole new reality, I suppose. So it'd be interesting maybe later on just to dig in a little bit to that. Maybe it might be helpful actually if you were just tell us a wee bit about who are you, what do you do, what do you do when you're not in lockdown, and how has that changed?
Sure. So mine's probably had the biggest change. I work in marketing. I work for a technology company that makes a product that's used in schools and very widely used across Scotland. It's called SumDog. And it is used for practicing maths and spelling. And actually before or during when all the schools closed, we made a decision that we would open up the product completely free for all schools globally using to help home learning, which was, as a social business, was absolutely the right move for us to make. The challenge with that is that the company doesn't bring in any money. And so although everything got very busy, we had to make some really difficult decisions and actually furloughed a number of the staff. And so I went on furlough myself and left one of my team to run things from a marketing point of view. And so I have been then for the past 4 or 5 weeks, I have been at home handling the home learning part. I won't say homeschooling because it's not that sophisticated, but we're trying to learn some stuff while speaking.
And I, Fiona, work for a charity, and I suppose essentially you could say that I do some project management as part of my job. I've been doing that for about 3 years now, but historically my background is architecture and construction. So yeah, I've sort of had like a, I was in the middle of a midlife crisis and a career change. That's what I do, but I've always, certainly for the last decade or so, been based from home. So in terms of work life, it's really business as usual for me.
Right. And yet suddenly you've got all these other people in the house during the day. How's that working out?
It works quite well. It was probably more difficult at the start when Kirsty and I were both working before she was furloughed. And we were having to juggle the sort of boys' schooling with our work, and that involved a lot of work in the evenings as well as during the day. So it's become a little easier the last week or so. But the same challenges everybody's facing, really.
I think you're, Kirsty, what you said about home learning, I think that's a really helpful phrase, isn't it? Because it adds a bit of grace into the conversation. Because my impression is there are a lot of people, you know, it feels like a big ask to be trying to juggle all of this, but to see this as, well, what do we learn together as a family, and what are the skills that maybe are not the maths and the English, but are the life skills that will be learned through this season? I don't know.
And it's really interesting because I've seen it both from a professional point of view, dealing with teachers every day at work, but then also as a parent, and it's amazing how supportive teachers are. Mm-hmm. And even my sister's a head teacher in a primary school, and another friends who work in schools, the amazing encouragement they can give to so many of us, just saying, look, just don't worry. They're not going to be learning at the same same level or the same speed as they may be at school, but it's okay because school will pick that up. They'll be able to sort those things out when they get back. Just letting them do some schoolwork, but also have some time which is just relaxing and not getting stressed out about what's going on around them, because it's so odd, and it's very strange for them to get their head around the fact that not just mum and dad are home all the time, but they are as well, and they don't have the same level of activities. And I mean, we're not going to complain about not having to take them to football training every single evening, but they're just going through this very strange environment, and so trying to find a new normal in that, I think, is the most important thing.
And how are you helping them to keep in touch with friends and so on, because I think that's quite hard, isn't it, when you're the age that the boys are?
We've tried to do a mixture of things, really. We've tried to help them have either Zoom calls or WhatsApp calls with their friends. And they're both at a kind of stage where they're playing computer games when they're not doing sports. So they have something called PS Plus, which lets them play with their friends and talk to them on the internet as well. So,
and it is the new normal, isn't it? It's the trying to work out ways to help people do connection in a different time. I heard of people who've got walkie talkies for their kids so they can talk to their friends. Long range walkie talkies. There's a thought. tell me about church life at the moment. So you're part of P's and G's.
Church has been It's been amazing. It's been so encouraging. And there have been lots of moments of just feeling like you're still there because you get to be part of a service online each week. But then also on Sunday, they played the video of the UK blessing, the video where they've brought together, I think it's 65 different churches across the UK to create this this video of them all singing the blessing, and that just feeling so much excitement about the fact that we're part of something so much bigger. The phrase they use at the end of that is, "Our buildings may be closed, but the church is alive." And that to me is the most exciting thing that's coming out of all of this is just the fact that people are looking and they're exploring, and it's such an opportunity that the church has right now to reach new people.
Yeah. And I mean, your church, so City Centre Edinburgh Church, you've had lots of hits on your online services, haven't you?
We have, yeah. I think they reckon we're reaching something like 8,000 people through the various metrics they use to calculate total audience. But I think it's probably a lot more nuanced than that. There'll be people dipping from other churches seeing what we're doing and how we're doing it. And
I know that my dad is watching at least 3 different church services every Sunday. Nosy and having a look to see what other people are up to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm considering adding that to my list of quickfire questions. How many services are you going to on a Sunday? What about in terms of, I mean, I know with P's and G's you would run kind of outreach things, you would run alpha and so on. Is that still going on?
Yes, it is. We've got a course running just now, which some people in the church are hosting, and that has 20 or so people on it, I think. And there's another one starting this coming Thursday, which Kirsty and I are going to host.
Oh, brilliant.
Bringing us back out of retirement. We led Alpha at church for about, 8 years?
Yeah.
And then when the boys got to a stage where it was just proving too difficult to get the childcare for it every week, then we handed it on to someone else, but they're bringing us back in, which is quite
cool. That's great. So that sounds really good. And I think it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because like I suppose like the attendance of church, there's an opportunity for people to come in on something. There's a lot less effort than you know, finding your way to a building and you know, making that commitment. So it seems like a really ripe season, doesn't it, for courses like that?
Yeah, definitely. And I was hearing this morning that they're like HTB in London have had something like 1,400 people sign up to their online course. So, you know, and they're saying one of the things they're finding is that it's just more accessible for people. There's people coming who wouldn't ordinarily be able to sort of join the conversation because they've either got young kids or they have other commitments or they, you know, there isn't an easy way for them to get to the physical location. So this is a good way for people to dip in and see what it's about.
That's great. That is tremendous, isn't it? If you're happy to do it, I would love to. I've got these quickfire questions that I ask everybody when they come onto this conversation.
Just fire them out.
Okay, let's do it. I like that. Okay, all right. So the first question is, what 3 words come to mind when I say Bible?
Knowledge, wisdom, and love.
Brilliant.
2020, grace, and the word. And that was more than 3.
Well, that's good.
Totally cheated.
Okay, so Callum, what did your first Bible look like?
It's sitting in front of me, and it had a red cover. It now has brown parcel paper and duct tape holding it together.
Oh, lovely.
I love silver duct tape.
Yeah, there's a lot of duct tape on it.
That's great. I think you're the first person I've spoken to who's still got their first Bible.
Underneath it all, it is an NIV, actually, I can't see when it was given to me because it's...
You've taped it in. It's duct taped. Kirsty, what about yours?
I can picture it. It was the yellow Good News Bible. It had different pictures in it. Drawings to keep it interesting for kids.
Yeah. It had a rainbow in the front, didn't it?
Yes, a rainbow.
It did.
Right after now.
Oh, absolutely. And what's your favorite book of the Bible?
Oh, I know I know mine. Mine is James. I think it just resonates with me. Lots of parts of it, including taming the tongue, which I find particularly difficult.
It's a very practical book, isn't it? It reveals quite a lot about people, I think, the book that they choose. Kirsty, what's yours?
Esther. And partly it's from being involved in Women Walking with God last year, and it's just reading that book in a whole new light. At the same time as we were preparing for that conference, I was going through a bit of a change in my career. I'd left my job without anything to do, and the verse about being born for such a time as this was one that really struck me, because I was just kind of opening it all up and saying, right, God, go for it, send me where you want. So it's just one that was the perfect book for me at that particular time.
That's great. So interesting. So interesting for both of you. What's your favorite place to read the Bible? I mean, at home, I suppose, at the moment, but choice.
There's a chair that we have, an IKEA chair in our kitchen, which I don't really like, but I find that it's right beside a window out onto our garden, and it's a lovely sunny spot, and that's generally where both of us would read, at different times. But we'd both go to that same spot and read our Bible, which is, I've never really thought about it.
That's beautiful. And I suppose final quick fire round. So final quick fire question. How often do you read the Bible?
I think Kirsty's much more disciplined than I am about reading her Bible. I tend to do it in bursts that are sort of fairly intense, and I'll read books at a time. So if you want me to be specific, it's probably a few times a week, but in concentrated for 2 hours at a time.
Whereas I'm doing last year for the first time I read the Bible in a year, following the Nikki Gumbel's Bible in a Year plan, and then actually this year at the start of the year, myself and my sister and my sister-in-law and our friend Hugh kicked off reading the chronological Bible in a year. So it's really fun because you read it, goes through the Bible in chronological order, and so it jumps around a little bit, which is interesting, as you kind of, at the moment we're on 2 Samuel, and it jumping between that and Chronicles, and so you see the similarities and where things are so closely linked, and I find that really fascinating. But the great thing about it is that we get, at the end of each day, you have your little passages that you read, and then there's a page where you share what it said to you, and we've got great discussion that we have in there, just as we each read things. And some days it's funny, and it's just all quite jovial, and then there are other days where it's really quite challenging, and we're able to talk about what that's meant for us, and where we are frustrated or challenged, or sometimes a bit angry with God at what he allowed to happen, or how things played out. So it's been brilliant to actually go through it in a completely different way.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? So a couple of things there. One being the community aspect of that, which obviously this week with Bible 2020, we've shifted into being able to connect on the app with that, which I think is a really exciting thing for people to do. So it's good to hear a story of somebody who finds that in a different context, really a helpful thing. And where do people find Chronological Bible if they're looking for that? Is that an app?
I just get it through the YouVersion app.
Okay, yeah. So
there is one of the plans. So it's the 1 year chronological Bible.
Great.
But yes, free on there. I love that there's so many different resources. We're so fortunate to be in a time where there are loads of things that we can access, like Bible 2020, that we can use. And it's not, there's no financial cost for people. So it takes away a barrier for them, and enables us to to enjoy the word in a completely new and fresh way.
T-
Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, our gods, to what our own hands have made. For you, the fatherless, find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them.
I think one of the things that those of us who are following through the year on the app are finding is it's interesting, isn't it? Verses that would, on one level, seem quite obscure, there's a relevance, isn't there, to the circumstance we find ourselves in. I mean, I guess we could have a conversation, couldn't we, about the idols that we have in our society and how some of that is being challenged at the moment.
I think one of the things that we have been thinking, and I don't know that we would necessarily say they were idols, but what we have noticed is that this has been in amongst all the difficulty and sort of pain and whatnot that people are experiencing. For us, there's been a bit of a reset in terms of priorities. Yeah. Life has been a bit more family focused, slightly less orientated to work and sort of extra, I was going to say extracurricular activities, but the sports and all the things that we do with the boy. And that's not to say that we won't do those when things change, assuming that they change back to some form of normality which allows that. But it's been really good to have that time together and to think about what your priorities are, and just to have the space to think about how you use your time and perhaps thinking about using it a bit more wisely. When I said that my favorite book was the book of James, is James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And I kind of feel like that speaks a little bit to the time that we're in just now.
Yeah,
you know, this is a time of trial, but God's with us in it and through it. And so there's a kind of call to stand firm as well in amongst that.
This has been so interesting to hear from you, a kind of normal family living out the stuff that you're living out at the moment. There are things that will chime with lots of people. Would there be anything you would want to say that would just encourage folk through this season?
I think it's just that that encouragement that don't beat yourself up if you're not living up to the Instagram life during this. And there's so much pressure, and I have fallen victim to it as well, where you look on Instagram or Facebook or whatever social channel you're on, and you just see other people posting all the things that they're doing, which is awesome, and the way that they've had a day where they've just killed it. And I think that it's celebrating with people when they have days like that, but not beating yourself up if you don't feel like yours has been that good. That actually just getting through a day, as long as you are protecting the relationships you have within your family, and making sure that you have the right things prioritized, so showing them your faith through this, then I think that's the thing that we've got to try and encourage people to do. There was there's something that I saw which was saying, and I'm going to completely misquote this, but it was about not focusing on what the people in your house are making your house into, but kind of focusing on what your time together in the house is making of the people in it.
Yeah.
So trying to just use this time in a really positive, nurturing way, not for it to be just about trying to either keeping up with the Joneses or just survival. There's so much opportunity to nurture what you have right here and just focus in on that.
Thank you so much. And thank you to both of you just for taking time out. Hopefully, hopefully the boys have not killed each other or destroyed the house whilst you've been speaking to us.
It's been very quiet, which is almost annoying.
A bit suspicious. But we really have appreciated hearing from you. Thank you for your honesty in all of that, and also for your encouraging words as well. And thank you for taking the time to read the verses for today and help us explore that as well.
Thank you for having us.
So that was my conversation with Kirsty and Callum. Hopefully that has been a helpful listen for you, giving you something to think about. Next week we'll be catching up with Andrea Boyes. She has been distributing Mark's gospel across the Highlands during this season, particularly in relation to their food bank work. And so I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more about what she's been up to. So thank you very much once again for joining us. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.